Well, over the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about the most important message ever given to mankind, which is the gospel, right? We're all getting that? We're getting it. We're getting it. We can't talk about it enough. The gospel, the most important message of all time, the message that every single person needs to hear. You know, we just prayed for our loved ones. Have they heard the gospel? Have they heard the gospel? We're the ones who are giving that gospel to them. We're the ones who are called to speak that gospel out, to present that gospel. And what is the gospel? Well, Paul said this. We're going to go back to it in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you of first importance. Again, this is of first importance. That's a pretty big statement for the Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, to say this is of first importance. And he said that Christ died for our sins. Tells me a few things, that we're sinners. Scripture says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was then buried and resurrected, raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, 1 Corinthians 15, 3, 4, and 5. The gospel, right there. The work of Christ, the salvific, saving, grace-filled work of our Savior, Jesus. And this gospel, though, demands a response. And I've been saying this for the last 3 weeks, I want to say it again, that I believe that a sincere, full, authentic, biblical response to this gospel, this work of Christ, is a response where Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is King of our lives. And so we've talked about those things for the past 3 weeks. We started off with Jesus is Savior. The next week, Jesus is Lord. And then last week on Easter Sunday, Jesus is King. What I want to do today is kind of wrap it all up. I want to pull it all together. And I want to talk about this natural life cycle, these characteristics of Christian living that happen, that should be present, that are evident when Jesus is Savior, Lord, and King of our lives. All three. This is going to be an interactive process, an interactive exercise. So have you all received, did you all get one of those green sheets of paper when you walked in? If you didn't, can you please raise your hand and can we have somebody grab those and hand those out? Can somebody in the room just take it upon yourself and run over there and find some of those and let's get those to these folks. Keep your hand up until you get one. Keep your hand up until you get one of those green sheets. They're printing them out. We ran out of them. Well, I guess that's a good problem to have. So we're going to have you raise your hands again in just a little bit after they get printed out. So you can put your hands down unless you want to keep them up for the next 10 minutes. But just give it a break there. This is going to be an interactive exercise. And my prayer and my desire and the best thing that you can do this morning is to engage in this exercise. To listen to what God is saying to you and to allow the Holy Spirit to walk you into deeper places, to walk you along in this life cycle, to be a fully formed, maturing follower of Jesus. So I encourage you to be real, be honest as you're filling out these forms. And I ask that you just wait. I'm going to give you time to do it. There's going to be three different breaks this morning for you to do that. So you don't need to be doing that. Let's hear what God has to say and let that lead us in to then these questions. Title of today's message, Jesus is Worthy of Our All. Jesus is worthy of our all. And I want to set it up with scripture here from Ephesians chapter 4. God's word says that, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. He gave them to equip his people for works of service. Not just for a ticket to heaven, but to equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So there's movement, there's growth, there's maturity. There's something happening in the life of a Christian. Then verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. And from Him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me tell a story. In Valladolid, Spain, I learned how to pronounce that from Pastor Jose, by the way, who is from Spain. In Valladolid, Spain, it's where Christopher Columbus died, by the way, in 1506, in this place, in this town in Spain. But in this place, Valladolid, there stands a monument commemorating this great discoverer. But perhaps the most interesting thing about this memorial is a statue. And in particular, on the statue, there is a lion. And a lion is destroying one of the Latin words that's been part of Spain's motto for centuries. See, before Columbus made his voyages, the Spaniards, this whole nation, thought that they had reached the outer limits of the earth. And so their motto of their nation was non plus ultra, which means no more beyond. We've done it all. We've gone as far as we can go. Non plus ultra, no more beyond. The word being torn away by the lion is non, or no, making it plus ultra. Meaning what? Columbus had proven that there was indeed more beyond. And my prayer today is that we understand and we realize in our lives as believers, there is more beyond. Wherever you are right now in your walk, in your life, in Christ Jesus, whether you're just being introduced to Him, whether you've walked with Him for centuries. Wow, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? How about decades? If you've walked with Him for centuries, I'm really impressed that you're even here today. Anyway, the Christian life begins with discovery. That's point number one. Discover. Jesus is Savior. We talked about that 3 weeks ago. Jesus is Savior. The Christian life, this life cycle, this journey that we're on in and through and with Christ Jesus begins with this thing of discover. There's more beyond this life. And we discover that when we discover Christ. God created us for so much more, and He desires that we would discover Him. God wants us to know Him because He is the more. Do you understand that? If you're looking for more in life, He is the more that you're looking for. He is the more. It says this in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And maybe there's somebody who needs to hear that word right now. Be still and know that He is God. It says in John 17:3, Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they know You. He's speaking of the Father, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. See, God wants us to discover Him. We were created to know Him, to be known by Him, to discover Him. It says in 1 John 5:20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Why? Just so that we can be smarty pants? No, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. God desires that we would know him. God desires that we would discover him. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not playing, you know, the carrot kind of game with us. God wants us to discover him. He wants you to know him. He created you to know him. This discovery begins with knowing Jesus as Savior. That's phase one of the Christian life cycle, by the way. So I want to do something. I want to throw up some pictures here, some little graphs. I don't know if they're graphs. They're just something I made in Word, Microsoft Word. So check this out. Jesus is Savior. Again, we talked about that 3 weeks ago. This is where it all starts. It all starts with Jesus being our Savior. It all starts with the gospel and understanding the gospel and responding to the gospel of Jesus, his work that makes us new, that causes us in him and through him to be born again. This is truly how we discover God, through his Son, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one discovers God except through Jesus. Jesus is Savior. It all starts with that. It doesn't start with your good works. It doesn't start with you being a good person. It starts with Jesus. And what happens is we discover God, we discover Jesus. And as we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we receive the gospel, as we humble ourselves before him and say, yes, I am a sinner. I do need you, Jesus. Save me. Save me. You're my only hope, right? As we do this, this amazing grace comes upon our lives and transforms us and makes us new. And something happens. The theological doctrinal term is justification. We become justified. Some people describe it just as if I'd never sinned. We become justified, made new, born again in and through Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And we receive this. Kind of my coaching aspect, I always like to put team type stuff and sports stuff up there. It's like that gets us on the team. Before that, enemies of God. Before that, outsiders. Before that, lost in darkness. But when we know Jesus as Savior, we discover God. We're justified. We're on the team. And this phase, this moment in this phase of the Christian lifestyle is a time when we are getting from God. We're receiving from God. There's nothing that we're bringing to the table. It's all what God has done and is doing in our lives. We are recipients of the work of God. Jesus is Savior. This discovery phase, it's a time when we're receiving, a time when we're getting. What are we getting? We're getting salvation. We're getting forgiveness. We're getting cleansed. It all happens. We're getting freedom. We're getting truth. We're getting hope. We're getting peace. We're getting joy, and we all need this. It's none of this stuff we can manufacture, none of this stuff we can find laying around anywhere in this broken, sinful world. This is something we get from God through Christ Jesus, his Son, the Savior of the world. So at this time, I would like you to pull out those green pieces of paper. And we do have some more, it looks like. So if you do need one, if you raise your hands, those will get passed out to you. Hopefully you have a writing utensil. If not, you can borrow from the person next to you. These are also available online. If you are online watching right now, you can go to the YouVersion app, and there is a link to this on the YouVersion for this particular gathering, for the notes for this service, or you can go out to the evidentlife.org site, go to the resources page, and down on the resources page, there is a link to this spiritual assessment if you'd like to do this from the comfort of your own home. We'd love to see you here in the house, too, whenever you get a chance. I'm going to give you some time just to fill that out. Here we go. So we're getting from God. Jesus is Savior. It's that discovery phase. It's a time when we're the recipients. We're getting from God, and receiving from God is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a necessary thing. I know guys don't like to ask for help. But guys, we all need help. And we all need to receive what God has for us. Jesus tells us, come to Him. God has what we need, and we need to continually be postured to receive. But a discovery of Jesus, are you ready for this step? A discovery of Jesus, if we've discovered Jesus, it will naturally lead to a desire to develop. And this is where we walk into this reality that Jesus truly is Lord. We go from discover to develop. And this is something that, I'll tell you, biblically, should happen like right away. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we push back on it. Sometimes we allow our flesh to get in the way. So we're going to challenge ourselves here a little bit with this. Because the natural progression, when Jesus makes us new, when we're justified, when we're made new by Christ, is to go, continuing to discover Him, which I believe we will do for all eternity. Because He is the infinite one, and you and I are not. And so we will for all time continue to discover more of this infinite, beautiful, amazing God. Our Creator. I believe that's one of the blessings we have for all eternity. So we continue to discover, but this discover leads us to what? Develop. I used to be a water safety instructor, meaning I taught people how to teach people to swim. But I also taught little kids to swim. It was stretching me, believe me. I've got grace for a lot of things, but there's a reason why I'm not back in the kids' life ministry. You know, we want your kids to be encouraged. We want, you know, and we want your pastor to have patience, you know, and all that kind of, anyway. But I was a water safety instructor. I taught swim lessons. I heard a story about a swim instructor, though, who would do what most of us would do. And she would leave the rope with the buoys on it up when kids were just starting off, right? So they'd start in the shallow water, and they'd be starting off, and she'd leave the buoys up. We would often do that because we didn't want to scare the kids, like, you know, because the deep water is kind of scary when they're starting out. But after a week of lessons or so, the children would begin swimming and getting used to the pool, and then this instructor would think, hey, they're ready for the deeper level. And so she would remove that line and those buoys, that rope. And what would happen is you'd all of a sudden notice that some of the kids would start getting nervous. And in one particular case, for this particular swim instructor, a boy remarked and said, Miss Tawny, please put the line back up. The deep water is getting into the shallow water. Right? Do you feel that way about your life sometimes? Like somebody removed the line, the rope, this magical barrier or something, and all of a sudden now the deep water of life is getting into the shallow water. You were really comfortable in the shallow water, but things are getting a little scary right now. See, we can be a lot like that cute little kid. Miss Tawny, put the rope back up. The deep water is getting into the shallow water. But God has deeper water for us. That's such a good thing. He has places that He wants to take us. And we cry, but Lord, the deep water is getting into the shallow water. He says, trust me. Trust me. That's how it's supposed to be. Let's go back to Ephesians 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to do what? To equip the saints, that's us, to equip his people, the saints, God's people, those who've been redeemed, those who know Jesus as their Savior, to equip us for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and do what? And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God, swimming in the deep end, not being afraid of the deep water, going from the shallow to the deep water, trusting God, experiencing his work in our lives for real. See, God wants us to grow up. He doesn't want us to stay in the shallow waters of life. It starts there. They have a purpose. The shallow water has a purpose. But that's not our final destination. He wants to move us along to the deeper waters. And he's going to take that rope and those buoys away, that barrier away. And he's going to invite you and draw you to the deeper waters of life. And for the Jesus follower, what's our role in that? Our role is to cooperate and to go where our instructor, to go where our God is leading us. I would teach some kids swimming and they would just cry and jump out of the pool and go to mommy, right? It was kind of over at that point. And I mean, if you know me, that was kind of over. I'm like, okay, you go to mommy. The rest of you, y'all ready to go? Okay, let's go. He doesn't want us jumping out of the pool, running to mommy. He wants us to trust him. Trust him. So I'm going to bring the pictures back up on the screen here. Because we started, if you notice, with Jesus as Savior. This is what Christ does. This is what Christ does in our lives as we discover him, as he justifies us. He makes us new. We're born again. We become saints. We go from sinners to saints. I want you to notice something. As you read your New Testament, what are you referred to if you're in Christ Jesus? Are you referred to as a sinner? No. You're referred to as a saint. If you read the letters and how they're introduced, to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Philippi, to the saints. Why? These letters are being written to those who have been justified, made new, taken out of darkness into light, whose sins God sees no more because Christ covered those sins. We were sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short, but God has saved us. And we have new identities now. We're no longer sinners. We were sinners. We are now saints. Saints. We're on the team. We're receiving from God. That leads us to this place of developing in the Lord because Jesus is our Lord. He saved us. He's our Lord. We owe him everything. We bow our knees, our lives. We humble ourselves before him. We repent. We turn from the old man, the old woman that we were, and we walk in the fullness and the wholeness of the new person that we are now in Christ Jesus. And that process of being made new, we've been made new, justified. And now God makes us new. We're in this process called sanctification, where the old is coming off and the new is coming on. We go from just being on the team to actually showing up at the practices now and practicing and improving, getting on board with what our coach is calling us to do. This is a time where we're going from getting from God to now we are growing in God. It's exciting, and it continues to be the work of God. It's the grace of God. It says in Titus 2:11, it says, God's grace that saved you, God's grace that justified you now teaches you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live a godly, upright life in this present age. It's the same grace, it's the same power of God that is moving us along this life cycle of the Christian life. And what do? We just show up and submit and trust and follow. That song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way. It's so true. Look at these. Jesus is Savior. We trust. Jesus is Lord. We obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. God wants us to grow up. Two things I want to highlight about this development phase, though. First one is this: obedience. All right, the primary ingredient to developing is obedience. And what is obedience? It's embracing God's way. Obedience. We choose to embrace God's way, not our way, not the world's way, not the old way, not the way of the flesh, but we walk by the Spirit now. And so obedience isn't just jumping through hoops. It's not a list of do's and don'ts and rules we're supposed to do, although there can be all that kind of stuff, right? But no, at the heart of obedience is embracing God's way. Why? Because it's God's way. And we're His people now. And this is what we're saved into, His way now. We can actually choose His way. Before, we couldn't choose His way. So people get this thing all messed up, all backwards, right? They think, okay, I gotta improve myself. I gotta earn my way to salvation. I gotta show that I'm worthy of God saving me and all this stuff. The issue is you can't do that. You don't have it in you to be good enough for God. Right? You don't. And so we come to Him broken. We come to Him messy and dirty and full of sin, and He saves us. And He gives us His grace. And that same grace, as it says in Titus 2:11, the same grace that's justified us, that saved us, now gives us all we need, that power of God in us now to actually obey Him. And to, what does that mean? To actually live life His way. To live life His way. If you're in Christ, you have all you need in Christ Jesus, it says in Scripture, for life and godliness. All that you need. His grace at work in us, developing us, because Jesus is our Lord. It says this in back to Ephesians 4, jump into verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. How many of you had a former way of life? Had a former way of life. We're not going to talk about that, all right? We're talking about who we are now in Christ. You were taught, though, with your former way of life to put off your old self. This is part of the development process. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and then to put on the new self. What's that new self? This means that we're created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Taking off the old, putting on the new, developing, walking as those who submit to our Lord Jesus. The second thing, you got obedience as part of this development process. The other part of it's fruit. Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, developing in our ministry gifts as well. The gifts of the Spirit that build up the church. Check this out, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of salvation, the evidence that the Spirit of God is working in us, developing us, changing us, sanctifying us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here's the one that I keep pressing into, self-control. Self-control. Against such there's no law. Developing in the Lord. Are you moving more and more into the deep water? More and more into this fruit of the Spirit. More and more into understanding God's ways and embracing God's ways. And finding yourself actually being able to walk in His ways where you were not able to before. Is Jesus Lord? Can you say what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. It's gone. Behold, the new is here. This is that natural progression of the Christian life where Jesus is Lord. So I'm going to give you just a moment to fill out the next six questions, the second group of six questions on your assessment. Okay. Finally, let's move into point number three today. A Christian who is discovering Jesus, a Christian who is developing in Christ, will naturally be willing to deploy. And this is where Jesus is our King. If we're discovering Jesus, a life of discovering Him, if we're living a life of developing, cooperating with His sanctifying work, His grace that's at work within us, then we're going to be a people who are willing to deploy. I read the story this week about a young man who dives for exotic fish. And he gets them for aquarium, sells them. It's kind of like his business, right? You got to be creative. So he dives, gets these exotic fish, puts them in aquariums. And he was asked, you know, what's the most desired fish? What's the one that most people want that you get the most money for? And he said, well, one of those is a shark. People like sharks. And he explained that if you catch a small shark and confine it, though, it will stay a size proportionate to the aquarium that it's placed in, right? So sharks can actually be as small as 6 inches long if you confine them, and that's the world that you allow them to swim in. But if you turn them loose into the vast ocean, what happens? They can grow up to 8 feet long. So I believe this happens with many Christians. I believe that there are many Christians who are the cutest, little harmless, 6-inch Christians who swim around in their own private little puddle with other small little 6-inch Christians. Aren't we the cutest, lovable little Christians who get along and are comfortable? But if they would only take who they are and go to where God wants to place them, they would find themselves not so small and maybe not even so cute, but so effective, so full of purpose, so full of life. See, God wants to grow us. He doesn't want us to remain small and comfortable in some little aquarium that we've placed ourselves in. These are the barriers. This is how far I'm going to let God go. I like my little Christian life the way I have it, my little Air One life that I have, you know. God wants, he has a purpose for us. He has a mission for us. He wants us to be in the ecosystem of this world. That's what we were created for. Not swimming in our own little aquarium called the church, but being who He created us to be out in the big, bad, lost world that He so gave His life for because of His love. This world doesn't need an aquarium full of cute little 6-inch Christians. This world needs a church full of deployed Christians who know who they are, whose confidence is in God, who see Jesus as their King, and who will go wherever He places them. You know, when a shark shows up in an ecosystem, it changes the ecosystem. You know what I'm saying? When a Christian shows up in the ecosystem, it changes it. When a Christian shows up on a job site, it should change the job site. When a Christian shows up in a public school, it should change the school. When a Christian shows up in government, it should change government. When a Christian shows up, things change. The atmosphere changes. What people hear changes. That's how it should be. We're not meant to be confined. Our King Jesus designed us, He saved us, He justified us, He's sanctifying us to be released into this world. Jesus has deployed you. And I want you to know that right now. Just as Jonathan is being deployed by the Air Force, we just prayed for him earlier. He's been deployed. Is he going to go? Yeah, he's going to go. We just prayed for him, so you better go now. But I'm going to tell you what, you've been deployed. You are the people of God. You are the ambassadors of Christ Jesus. Our King has deployed you. So it's not a question about has that been done. It's a question of will you now do what your King has called you to do and be faithful to the deployment that he's given you to be salt and light in this big, bad, scary, messed up world. That's exactly why he's deploying us in this world. There are lost people out there in this vast ocean that we live in. They need Jesus. They need what you have. They need who you have. They need the message that you received, the gospel. They need the King that you follow, the Savior, the Lord. But a lot of Christians remain small because they won't deploy. So their impact remains small or even hidden. And we think, well, how can I do anything big? You want to hear what Jesus had to say about you? Okay? Quit thinking about what you're saying about yourself, what you're speaking over yourself. This is what Jesus has to say. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing." Little six-inch Christian, time to grow up. You will do the works that Jesus has been doing. And Jesus says this, "And they will do even greater things than these because I'm with the Father." You know, when he went to the Father, what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit, filled us, baptized us. His grace for all the work that he did, giving us all we need for life and godliness to swim in the ocean, to be deployed, to be deployed. It's hard to do great things in a puddle. It's hard to do great things in an aquarium. Ben has this little fish. He and his girlfriend, they share it. Like, goes from one house, then back to us. I always like when it's at the other house, to be honest with you. But when it's at our house, you know, I just look at this poor little thing just sitting in this little bowl. I'm just like, that's a pretty miserable, insignificant life. It's safe. They get fed. Water gets changed, everything, it's all that. But what purpose is there for that little fish? I feel so sorry for it. At least if it's out in the ocean, yeah, it'd be scary. Probably end up getting eaten by a shark. You know, whatever. But at least there's purpose. There's excitement. Come on, beloved. We are not supposed to be safe. We're supposed to be deployed people. We're supposed to be the body of Christ out in the world, showing God's love, telling his good news, being his representatives, praying for the sick, seeing God do miracles just because we show up. I mean, some of you are so cute, though. Anyway, so let me bring the last picture up here. This is the life cycle. Jesus is Savior, we're discovering. Jesus is Lord, we're developing. But when Jesus is King, this is when we're deploying. This is when we're deploying. This is where glorification happens. Now, there's the ultimate glorification that happens in the resurrection, okay? But I'm talking about God being glorified in us. You know, it says in Scripture that we will go from glory to glory. That's hard to do when you're in an aquarium and you're 6 inches long. But when you're a shark that's growing, you're going from glory to glory, eating up the darkness. I don't know. I'm just running with the analogy. We'll see what happens. I'm swimming with the analogy. You know what would be cool is if I brought the two analogies I did together. I'm just thinking about this. The one of the swimming instructor and the little kids in the shallow and they're afraid of the deep end. And then we throw the shark analogy in with it. That would get really wild. But I'm just off now here a little bit. So we discover, we develop, and then we deploy. This is where we're actually in the game. This is when we go from getting from God, which we should get every single day. Every day you need to be getting from God. Because if you don't get it, you don't got it to give it. You know what I'm saying? So you got a gift from God. And then we got to be growing in God. We got to be obeying. We got to see the fruit of the Spirit manifesting and actually in our lives. And then the last thing is that this is then when we go with God. I'm not talking about going home, sweet by and by, sweet Jesus. You know, no, I'm talking about going with God into the ocean of this world. Being a shark. You know what I'm saying. I'm not talking about go eat people up and be mean and all this kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. We're not, and this is something too. Like sharks, we're not supposed to be defensive creatures. I'm going to go a little bit long this morning. I hope that's going to be okay. Because y'all are doing this, right? I'm going to blame it on you. You're taking so long on these. I can't believe it. We're not supposed to be defensive creatures. Protect, protect, protect. Safety, safety, safety. I'm saved now. Now I just need to protect myself, protect myself. No, we're supposed to go on the offense. We're supposed to get out there. No more of this defense stuff. It's time to deploy. We have a responsibility. We have an expectation from God to show up, to do good in the world. We learned in our biblical citizenship class on Wednesday about tending the garden. We have a call to go tend the garden that's out there. Tend the ocean that we're swimming in out there. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do work. To do what? To work and to care for it. God has us in this world right now. He hasn't come back and brought us home or any of that kind of stuff. Why? He has us here for a purpose. To tend this world. To work it. To be his ambassadors. For we are God's workmanship, it says in Ephesians 2:10. Why? Created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works. To get out of the aquarium. To grow. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. So parents, before we get to this last, I just have something I want to shout out for the parents here. Are you showing your kids with your life what it looks like to be deployed? The best way that we disciple, we got to be the example. They're watching us. Are we showing them how to be safe little 6-inch Christians swimming around a little Christian puddle? Are we showing our kids what it looks like to be deployed? To be bringing God's kingdom, the gospel of Jesus, out into the ocean of life. Do they see us being intentional about that? Being on the offense. So with that, let's fill out the last 6 questions of our assessment. So you'll have some time, I'm sure, this afternoon to continue to fill that out if you still have some blanks. But I wanted to say this. If you look at each one of those 3 sections, there's 6 questions, maximum of 5 points per question, so a maximum of 30, a score of 30 per section. Now, if you scored a 30 on any of those sections, I want to meet you, because you might be the next senior pastor here at Evan Life Church, because I didn't score 30 on any of these. But I want to tell you this. If you have a score at or below 20 in any one of these sections, that may be an indication that you need to take some action with the Lord. That you need to spend some time seeking His face and just asking Him, what's going on in this area of my life? And how do I grow up in this area? How do I advance and move forward in this area of my life, whether it's the area of discovering Him and knowing Him and hearing His voice, receiving from Him, whether it's the area of developing of obedience and the fruit of the Holy Spirit being evident in my life, in your life, right? Or whether it's the area of deploying, of taking the gospel, taking the kingdom out into the world intentionally. I want to say this, it's on the handout, the assessment. If you want to set up an appointment with any of the pastors here at Evident Life Church, we'd be happy to meet with you and just walk through some of this stuff with you. If you're ready to move forward, to take that next step, to grow, to get out of the aquarium, to live on purpose, to deploy, to obey. If there's some besetting sin that just keeps coming on you and you hate it and you want to walk this through with some others, we're here. We've been reading in Ephesians 4. We're here for the equipping, for the building up, to help. We're in this together. We make each other stronger when we do all of this together. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord and recognize, yeah, there's some issues here. When we do that It's even that act of humbling ourselves that God says, all right. It's like he pours out more grace and he lifts us up in these areas. But again, we're stronger together in this. I want to invite you to begin coming and getting the elements for communion.